2 Kings in chapter number 8 this morning. We're going to look at the servant Gehazi. Gehazi was a servant of God's prophet Elisha and mentioned often. And let's read in 2 Kings chapter 8, starting in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Then spake Elisha unto the woman whose son he had restored to life, saying, Arise, go thou and thine household, and sojourn wheresoever thou canst sojourn. For the Lord hath called for a famine, and it shall also come upon the land 7 years. And the woman arose and did after the saying of the man of God, and she went with her household and sojourned in the land of the Philistines 7 years. And it came to pass at the 7 years' end that the woman returned out of the land of the Philistines, and she went forth to cry unto the king for her house and for her land. And the king talked with Gehazi, servant of the man of God, saying, Tell me, I pray thee, all the great things that Elisha had done. And it came to pass, as he was telling the king how he had restored a dead body to life, that, behold, the woman whose son he had restored to life cried to the king for her house and for her land. And Gehazi said, My lord, O king, this is the woman, and this is her son whom Elisha restored to life. And when the king asked the woman, she told him, so the king appointed unto her a certain officer, saying, Restore all that was hers, and all the fruits of the field since the day that she left the land, even until now. Let's pray. God, thank you, Lord, for loving us, and thank you, God, for the opportunity to be in your house this morning. I thank you, Father, for the word of God. And Lord, it's just wonderful, and we praise you. And I just ask you, God, just to please help me as I share the word that you've given to me. I pray that, Lord, every thought would be yours. Lord, I surrender myself to you. May my mouth, my tongue, my words, I just pray to use it for your glory. Father, I do pray for those working in junior churches right now that are giving their lessons. I pray that you'd use them also in a great way. And I just pray that the word of God would go forth clearly and that seeds would be planted and watered. God, you give the increase. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, what we just read here, Gehazi is talking to the king of Israel, and the king said, tell me all the stories about Elisha, and he went through the stories, and I'm sure there are more things that he shared than what we know about, but what we know about, we can kind of glance and look at, turn back to chapter number 4, where we're introduced to Gehazi. In chapter number 4, it says in the first few verses there, and I'm not going to read all these, but just glance at them with me, but Gehazi was Elisha's servant. In chapter 4, it says, Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. Thou knowest thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditors come to take unto him my 2 sons to be bondmen. So Elisha, he hears this message, and one of the sons of the prophets, one of the men that were training under Elisha, he passed away. And when he passed away, he had some debt that his wife and his 2 sons inherited, and she couldn't pay it. And she said, Elisha, what am I going to do? And if you remember the story, that's when Elisha told her to go and to collect all the vessels that she could. And she did, and then she said, all right, after you collect those vessels, I want you to pour oil out of what you have into those vessels. And when she did that, she filled up every vessel that she had borrowed. And even when they filled up the last one, she told her boys, bring me another one. And they said, that was the last one. And so she went to Elisha and said, what do I do? And Elisha said, go and sell all those pots of oil and then pay off your debt, and whatever remains you can live on. And she did just that, and God worked a miracle there. And as, of course, a lesson there, I guarantee she wished you'd have went and borrowed more vessels, right? Never limit what God can do, right? But Gehazi, he saw that. That was pretty miraculous. And we're all sitting there, yeah, Brother Fountain said, right, and he's the only one that responded. Can you imagine? I mean, you guys, we'll look at something that affects you. Gas. Right, yeah. Can you imagine? We're all out of gas, right? And I was like, well, how if you pay off your debt, go collect all the cans you can, and you just took your 1 can of gas, you start filling up every other can of gas. You wouldn't go, Right. Yeah, right? You'd all be like, woo, that's amazing, right? And yeah, that'd be awesome, right? Well, that's what happened. That's exciting, right? And so then we go from that to verse number 8. The Bible says there in chapter 4, it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. Now we're introduced to Elisha, him and Gehazi. They would travel, and when they came across this lady, all right, the word great there means they had some money. They had some possessions. And so she decided, she talked to her husband about it, and she said, why don't we build a chamber for the prophet to stay in? And when he comes, he can have something to eat. He can have a candle, a table, chair to sit on, and a bed to lay on. And anytime he comes by, this can be a refuge for him to rest, to study, to talk to God, to write things out. Her husband said, that's awesome. So she did that. And they built this house. And that's why we have a prophet's chamber at church for when people come in, to give them that same opportunity. And but she did that, built it. And then Elisha, he calls Gehazi in verse number 12. He said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said to her, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. He said, what can I do for you? You've been so good to us. And she said, I'm good. I'm fine here. You don't need to speak to me, I'm to the king, or anything else. He said, well, what then is to be done for her? Gehazi, he says, verily she hath no child, and her husband is old. So Gehazi heard all that conversation. When she leaves, Elisha said, I wish I could do something for her. And he says, well, her husband, they're getting up in age, and she doesn't have a child. I'm sure having a child would be a blessing. So Elisha calls her back in and tells her that she is going to have a child. And she says, don't you be joking with me, right? Read it. That's kind of what she said, right? Don't you be joking with me, prophet, all right? And he goes, no, I'm serious. You're going to have a child. And she does have a child. What a miracle. This elderly lady with her elderly husband has a child. Hey, you're all sitting there. Hey, right. Now, I'm not going to mention no names, but there be some couples that they came to church next week and said, we're expecting. We'd be like, what? Right? Whoa, right? That's what happened. Right? It was a miracle. Gehazi saw that. Wow. Well, then we continue this story starting in verse number 18. Child was grown, and one day this child, that was a miracle, is getting older, gets sick. Out in the fields working with dad, dad tells the servant, carry that child, I don't know what's wrong with him, carry him to his mom, and his mom held the boy in his lap, this miracle child, and the child died in her arms. And she lays this child on Elisha's bed in that prophet's chamber, and she tells her husband, I'll be back, and she travels to where Elisha is. And as she approaches Elisha, he sees her coming. It says in verse number 25 of chapter number 4, so she went and came unto the man of God, to Mount Carmel, and it came to pass when the man of God saw her afar off that he said to Gehazi, his servant, behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, saying to her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? So Gehazi runs. He sees him coming. Gehazi runs as a servant, comes up to her and goes, is everything okay? And her answer in verse number 26 is, it is well. It wasn't. But she didn't want to talk to Gehazi about it. She wanted to go talk to the man of God about it. How'd that make him feel? She just kept on going. She goes to the man of God on the hill and caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. Gehazi comes up and finds her there at the feet of the prophet, and he says, back off. That's interesting. And the man of God said, let her alone. Her soul is vexed with her. The Lord hath hid it from me. not told me. Elisha was kind of surprised. Here she is, and God hadn't told him what was wrong. As the prophet, he usually knew. He didn't know this time. And then she explains, did I not say, don't you be joking with me? This is Travis Burke commentary, right? Did I not tell you that? And my child, he's dead. So in verse number 29, Elisha says to Gehazi, gird up thy loins and take my staff in thine hand and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. And if any salute thee, answer him not again. And lay my staff upon the face of the child. So here, Gehazi, you're young. Take this staff. Take my staff. Don't you stop and talk to anybody. You go right back and place this staff upon the head of the child. And the mother said, I'm just going to travel back with you, Elisha. I'm not going to leave. Verse number 30. So verse 31, Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child. You reading it? Didn't work. That's interesting. There was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, the child's not awake. Elisha, it didn't work. So Elisha goes in there into the room, to the prophet's chamber, and he literally stretches himself out upon the child and begins to pray. And God did an unbelievable miracle. That child came back to life. Gehazi saw that. That's exciting. There you go again. That was exciting. Do I really need to give you an illustration of that? Can you imagine? I'm not even going to go there, right? Yeah, right? But praise the Lord. It's exciting stuff. He got to see all this. Then something else happens. Verse number 38, Elisha came again to Gilgal, and there was a dearth in the land. The sons of the prophet, this, that famine had started, and the sons of the prophet were sitting before him, and he said unto a servant, set on the great pot, and seethe pottage for thy sons of the prophet. So he said, told Gehazi, we assume, to put a pot of stew on. Let's make some stew. The boys are hungry, all these guys that were training. So one went out, one of the sons of the prophet went out, and he's looking, what can I make this stew out of? And I ought to look for some good mushrooms or, you know, I don't know what they were looking for. I don't know what kind of stew. But one of the servants was going around looking for something. He's like, ooh. That's a vine I've never seen before. I believe that I'll make mystery stew. So he cuts off some of this vine. He takes it back. Now, I got a mystery stew I make when we go camping. Now, my wife don't like it. Grace is on vacation. Hope is sick today. If they were here, Alex has had it. Huh, Alex? Thank you. All right, yeah, all right. So, cans of baked beans, then you take, you know, canned biscuits, slap that thing, open it up, tear them in little pieces, drop them in there, cast iron, all right, and you put some corn in there, then you just put the lid on there and you stir it every once in a while on a fire, in about 2 hours, Alex, it's good stuff. All right, all right. It's like baked beans, dumplings, and corn. If I didn't have all the rest of them, I'd put peas in there too, but they don't like peas, which I don't know why it holds me back, because they don't eat it anyways. But, right? But it's good stuff. But this guy made a mystery stew. You know, I can imagine the boys, they're all sitting around like, what is it? Oh, you just wait. Because he had no idea. And he serves them all, and when they start eating that, says, let's read verse 39. I think I'm just making this up. Read it. And one of them went into the field to gather herbs and found a wild vine. And gathered thereof wild gourds, his lapful, and came and shred them into the pot of pottage, for they knew them not. So they poured out for the men to eat, and it came to pass, as they were eating of the pottage, that they cried out and said, O thou man of God, there's death in the pot. It was poison. You don't need to read your Bible. It's fun, all right? It's poison. They start eating it, and they're like, Elisha, we're dying, all right? I'm I'm sure there were other things going on, not recorded in the scriptures, all right? But they got sick. And Elisha says, And so he talks to God, and he takes some meal, and he puts some meal in the pot, and everything's fine. There was no harm in the pot. This pot of mystery stew becomes wonderful. Little meal in there. Cornbread helps everything. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Put some meal in there. God changed the pot from poison to edible, and they all ate. Gehazi, watch that. Now, these are the stories he's telling the king. You with me? He got to see all these things. It doesn't stop there. In verse number 42, there came a man from Baal-Shalisha and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley, 4 ears of corn and the husk thereof. And he said, give unto the people that they may eat. This man comes and he gives us first fruit offerings. You say, well, that was an offering that was to be given. But in Israel, they were in idolatry. They weren't going to take it. This man obviously believed in God. He wasn't going to take it to Bethel and give it to these two golden calves. All right, he knew that wasn't right. That wasn't honoring God. So he went to Elisha, the man of God, and said, look, I'm going to give you this. Use it to feed these sons of the prophets. In verse number 43, and the servitor said, what should I set before 100 men? He said, whoever took this, which may have been Gehazi, but he was there. He goes, you know, I'm sure it was one of those, thank you so much, sir. That is such a blessing. Then when the guy walked around, you know, Gehazi or whoever was like, all right, there's 100 of us. These 20 loaves and few ears of corn is not going to feed everybody. And Elisha says, it's all right. Just start feeding them. We know what happens in the New Testament with a couple of loaves and fish, right? Do you know what happened in the Old Testament too, right? And it says there, you know, I'll read it again, verse 43, and the servant said, what should I set this before 100 men? He said again, give the people that they may eat. For thus saith the Lord, they shall eat and shall leave thereof. He said, go ahead and feed them. They're all going to eat and there's going to be leftovers. That's, the Lord did that again in the New Testament. So he set it before them and they did eat and left thereof according to the word of the Lord. Just 20 loaves and a few ears of corn fed 100 young men. I got about 7 or 8 young men that go with me on Wednesdays to work. I know what young men can eat. That was a miracle. But they all ate. You imagine that as they're, you know, just shucking the corn or they're, you know, they're handing out the bread. 20 loaves fed 100 men. There's enough corn for everybody. That was a miracle. Gehazi saw that. Pretty amazing. Then you get chapter number 5. I'm not going to read all this, but there's this man who came and says in verse 1, now Naaman, captain of the host, king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable. There's this Syrian general named Naaman, and he was a powerful man, had money, had position, had power, but he got leprosy. He's at home, he's dying of leprosy, and one of the servant girls, who was a Jew, had been taken from her homeland, but she saw that her master was stricken with leprosy. She said in verse number 3, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. She said if he could go and see Elisha, Elisha could heal him. So the king of the Syrians sent Naaman with this letter. He goes to the king of Israel, and he said, I'm here to be healed. One of my servant girls said I could be healed here in Israel. And the king basically goes in a room and starts crying. He literally rends his clothes and he says, how am I supposed to heal this guy? He's probably here just to spy out the land. They're going to come and kill us. It's going to be terrible. I can't do anything. Why are you doing this to me, God? Someone gets news to Elisha, and Elisha sends a servant, probably Gehazi, says, send him here. And you know the story, right? Naaman goes to Elisha, and when they all get there, Elisha sends word out what need to happen. It says there in verse number 10, Naaman comes in verse 9 and verse 10, Elisha sent a messenger unto him saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times. and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. So he sends out a servant. I don't know if it was Gehazi, but Gehazi knew about it. He says to Naaman, you just go into Jordan River and dip seven times, and your flesh will be restored. Naaman gets angry. He was expecting the man of God to come out and just like call down amazing things. Or to walk out there. I mean, Elisha didn't even go out and see him. Which to Naaman, when you're a big name with all this power, it was very disrespectful in his eyes that he didn't come out to see him. Instead, a messenger, a servant to him. He gets really mad and he starts charging. I'm just going back home. He's going home angry. And one of Naaman's servants is like, you know, if he would have asked you to climb up a mountain on your knees, you would have done it. I just made that, but something, right? He goes, maybe you should do what he said. Naaman's like, yeah. So he pulls over there and he goes into the Jordan River and he dips himself the first time. Nothing happens. Second time, nothing happens. He gets to that seventh time, and when he comes back out of the water, he is completely healed of his leprosy. Verse number 15 says he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him and said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Amen. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. But he, Elisha, said, as the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. Naaman wanted to give him whatever he wanted. Right. Money, raiment, whatever you want. And Elisha says, no. You knowing that God is God, what it's all about. So Naaman leaves. But after Naaman leaves, Gehazi is like, He's thinking about this. Verse number 20. Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, behold, my master has spared Naaman the Syrian in not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. So Gehazi says, boy, did Elisha mess up. This could help us. This could help me. So Gehazi slips out the back door and he chases Naaman down. Verse 21, when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, is all well? He said, all is well. My master has sent me. That's funny. The widow woman said, yeah, everything's fine. He said, everything's fine, but he's up to bad things. My master has sent me, saying, behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim two young men and the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and two changes of garment. Boy, did he make up a lie. He chases Naaman down. He says, you know, after you left, two more joined us. We weren't really prepared for that. So if we could have a talent of silver and two changes of clothes, it would be a blessing to these sons of the prophets who are training to serve God. None of that was true. Right. Naaman just wanted this stuff. Verse 23, and Naaman said, be content, take two talents. Can you imagine that? Oh, don't just take one talent of silver, take two talents of silver. Well, if you really want me to, that'd be a blessing. Thank you so much, right? He urged him and bound two talents of silver in two bags with two changes of garments and laid them upon two of his servants, and they bare them before him. And when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand and bestowed them in the house, and he let the men go, and they departed. So Naaman sent two servants to carry this stuff for Gehazi. But when Gehazi got close to the house, he goes, hey, that's far enough. I can take it from here. I wonder why he didn't want the servants following him all the way back to Elisha's house. Right? I got it. He stops by the house, hides the stuff, and then he goes home, back to Elisha. It says in verse 25, but he went in and stood before his master, and Elisha said unto him, whence comest thou, Gehazi? Elisha knew. Where you been? He said, I didn't go anywhere. Right? My servant went nowhither. One lie always leads to another lie, which leads to another lie, which leads to deception. Verse 26, and he said unto him, went not mine heart with thee? When the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee, Elisha knew everything that had happened. Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments, olive yards, and vineyards, and sheep, and oxen, and men servants, and maid servants? He called out Gehazi for taking the money and the garments, but also Elisha knew his heart. He didn't just want that, did he? He wanted property, vineyards, and sheep, and oxen. Then he says in verse 27, the leprosy thereof of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and to thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow. Gehazi, because of this, is stricken with leprosy. And he leaves Elisha. But the story's not done, is it? In chapter 8, we find him talking to who? I know it's been 26 minutes, but or 18 minutes. He's talking to the king. That's interesting. What's he doing there? He said, well, he had leprosy. He shouldn't have been. Naaman went to the king. I mean, the Bible forbade you couldn't, you know, touch and be within so, you know, so many feet, but they could still have a conversation. Gehazi's hanging out with the wicked king of Israel. And the king of Israel's very interested in all these stories. Tell me more. Tell me more. And he's telling him about this widow woman who miraculously had a child in her old age, and the child died, and then Elisha brought the child back to life, and all of a sudden the doors open, and this woman says, please, king, can I have my land back? Elisha had told her to go, and she dwelt in Gath for a while and come back now, and she wanted her land back in order to be able to live. And Gehazi's like, that's her. That's the woman. And the king's just like, wow. He says, yeah. He sends a servant and says, give her back everything that's hers. The story ends. But I just want us to consider something about the servant Gehazi. I want you to think about something and why this is in the Word of God for us. All these great stories and they're all wonderful Sunday school lessons, every one of them with so many points that we could teach and preach, and they're all just jam-packed with principles and lessons. And we would even see Jesus do some of these same miracles in the New Testament. Elisha was a man of God, and boy, you can study his life and so much to learn there. But I want us to consider Gehazi. And I want you to just consider a couple of things. That number one, the potential that guy had. Gehazi was in the right place. Gehazi was around the right people. Gehazi heard all the right preaching. Gehazi saw the right power at work. Gehazi saw things that we have a hard time imagining. Because Gehazi got to sit at the feet of Elisha and be trained by one of the great men of God in the Bible. Gehazi got to watch and see things and help him out. He was right there where he should have been. He was right there listening to everything he should have been listening to. He heard all the right teaching, all the right preaching, all the privileges that that guy had. But he had a problem. Gehazi had a serious problem. And we could go in different directions, but it's summarized in this. He loved that world. The silver, very attractive to him. The garments, he wanted more. And the prophet Elisha exposes his heart. with all the vineyards and manservants. All these things you're dreaming in your heart, Gehazi. Oxen and sheep. The man of God said, I see your heart. Because when you left, my heart went with yours. I saw when Naaman turned around. I know what you were thinking. I know where you've been. But Gehazi loved these things. His heart was here, even though he's hearing all the right things, with all the right people, around all the right circumstances, yet his heart wasn't there. In the New Testament, we're told about a man named Demas who walked with Paul, heard the teaching of Paul, saw the miracles that God did through Paul, and there he was listening to the preaching and the services, but there's a problem. Demas left, having loved this present world. Everybody in this auditorium, you're in a good place. And I'm only saying this next statement because I've just read your scriptures and told you what the Bible says, but you're hearing the right things. Not a patting on my back. This book is what's important, all right? You're hearing the right things. You're in the right place. You're around the right people. Without a doubt. But what's your heart been thinking about the last 10 minutes? What's in your heart? You got all the right preaching. You got all the right people. You got all the right place to go to. But has the world got a pull on you that you just can't let go? Does the silver in that bag keep drawing your heart away from the spiritual? Amen. Are you so driven on making something of yourself? And I'm driven. I want to have a home, and I want to have a good car, and I want to have be able to have toys and boats, and I just want to have more, and I need some more, and I want to get a promotion because then I can get more of this and more of that. I want you to be as successful as God wants you to be. I hope all of you are millionaires. That'd be awesome. If God wants it. But if you're so in love with those things that you've not had a walk with God, you haven't read your Bible, you're neglecting your family, you have no time for your kids, you're neglecting everything that's spiritual, you only show up to church to sit on a seat to endure so no one comes looking for you because your heart's so far away from it. My friend Gehazi, wake up. Wake up. Gehazi was in a good place. So much potential. Gehazi, I believe, because of the way he's mentioned, because of what he's being done, because of all that Elisha and how he uses him, you know who it reminds me of? Elisha. Because there was a prophet before him named Elijah, and everywhere Elijah went, Elisha was there. And all the miracles that Elijah brought down, Elisha watched him. And all the things that Elijah was able to do and preach and teach, Elisha sat there and soaked it all in. And when Elijah said, it's time for me to leave, what can I give you? He didn't ask for talents of silver, and he didn't ask for a change of garment, and he didn't ask for men servants and maid servants and oxen and sheep. He said, I just want a double portion of what God's doing through you. Just want to be used of God even more. And God gave it to Elisha. And I believe Elisha was trying to help Gehazi get there. Because he's doing the same things Elisha did with Elijah. But his heart wasn't where it should have been. The draw of that paycheck meant more to him than his kids going on and serving God. The idea of having that newer car was is more important to him than just honoring God with my life. Are you following me? I don't have to preach at you this morning to be in church. You're here. I don't have to preach at you to have a Bible. Think you got it. At least you should. I don't have to preach. I need to be hanging around the right people. You are. I don't have to preach at you to tell you need to get under preaching. You're there. But only you and God know your heart right now. Why do you get up every day? What motivates you? What's driving you? How's your kids walk with God? What'd they learn from church this past week? How's the Lord speaking to them? Well, I just want my kids to make some money and be better off than me. I want my kids to be better off than me too. That'd be awesome. But more importantly, I just want them to serve God. Amen. Problem is, and I think, if you remember the stories, right? I think Gehazi had in his mind, I can't. People don't respect me like they do him. Because that widow woman just brushed him off, right? I can't do what they do. I laid the staff on the kid's head. Nothing happened. It's just real, right? I can't. Might as well get something out of his life. There's reasons why God wanted Elisha go pray over that dead child.
That's right.
And that woman wasn't showing a disrespect for Gehazi as much as she was just so burdened, she just had to talk to Elisha.
Right.
It wasn't about Gehazi.
Right.
But boy, the devil blinds us sometimes. Maybe we should stop and be honest with ourselves today. Whether we're an Elisha or a Gehazi. Because we can change today. Because all this potential, but he had a problem and there was a punishment, right? Gehazi got discipline. He was stricken with leprosy. You say, well, that's it. God was done with him. Can I remind you of someone named Miriam one time who was stricken with leprosy? Through repentance and prayer, you know what happened? She was healed. Can I tell you about Naaman? Who had leprosy. But when he humbled himself, you know what God did with his leprosy? Healed him. Can I go fast forward to the New Testament? Several stories about lepers. But he fell before the Lord. You know what the Lord did? He healed him. And I am convinced with all my being that if Gehazi would have fell on his face and said, God, be merciful to me, I was wrong. Because that's who God is. But he didn't. He didn't humble himself. He refused to repent. Matter of fact, that heart of his made him buddy up with a rich, powerful, wicked king. He still had the leprosy. And you find him last in the palace. You find him last talking to the wicked king, sharing all these stories, and no doubt became buddy-buddy with the wicked king of Israel. Because that preacher, everybody look at me for this, that preacher, Elisha, he hurt me. Those people disrespected me. That woman God has rejected me. Look what he did to me. Because that's where we go and we don't repent. That's where we go when we continue down Gehazi's path. You eventually will get very upset with the preacher and very upset with the people of God and ultimately upset with God. Right? See, what happens? Jehu is anointed the next king of Israel. And he goes in and he slays the wicked house of Ahab. Every one of them are slain. No one remains. Gehazi's new buddy is dead. So what happened to Gehazi? I don't know. But I can tell you this as a leper. They look at me and we're close. He died hurting. He died in pain. He died alone. Because he didn't repent. No one in this room has gone that far yet. Check your heart. Check your heart. What's driving you? Why are you getting up every day? What are you focused on in life? Don't be Gehazi.